This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Artie, we welcome you in on the McCarty Daniel Hotline and start with that DJ Wagner news that you broke over the weekend. What was the reaction that you kind of saw from Arkansas fans when that came down the pipe?
I'd say they were pretty pleased, huh? I mean, everybody had been waiting for it to happen, and it finally happened. So I think it was a kind of like the cherry on top of the cake, or you know, whatever. I think people feel better overall with the roster. I mean, obviously there was optimism with the roster without him, but with him, I think everybody was. I guess relieved and glad to hear it. Mm-hmm. You know, because Coach Calipari said 8 or 9 guys, so yeah. They got 8, maybe one more guy, and they'll be done. So, good way to kind of wrap things up. I guess you know, close to wrapping things up. I mean, you had the number one transfer class in the nation without him, and then you add him, and obviously that just makes the transfer class even better than the high school class of 3 guys is rated number 2 in the country according to On3. So you go from 0 to 8 and do it in the way that Coach Calipari and the staff have done it. I think you've got to be pleased.
So you kind of alluded to the length of time it took for Wagner to commit. Richard, in your opinion, why did it take so long?
All I know is that you know, we talked about how after the visit, felt really good about the situation, and then sources told me that he committed over the weekend. That's all I know. I honestly didn't really dived into to why or what, but you know, it's that's what I was told by sources that he committed over the weekend. And that's what I reported.
Okay, so I was going to ask you about the backstory and how you know. How you sniffed this one out, if it was a relationship back from his recruiting days, or it sounds like it was a connection on your behalf that led you to the news.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. When you report something like that, you have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's legit, and I knew.
Okay. Well, you know, obviously that's, I don't know, is this the last big shoe to drop? It seems like the roster at this point just simply doesn't have any more room for a superstar, 5-star type name of an established player.
Well, you just never know. I mean, with Calipari, you know, his brand and throw in Arkansas with what they have to offer, you know, once the kid gets on campus and checks it out, he's had strong rosters, you know, at Kentucky that were pretty deep. So, you know, if you say, "Hey, we're going to play 8 or 9," and you're going to see the floor, and his track record of getting kids to the league, I don't know. I see what you're saying, but at the same time, I mean, Some people just are able to sell maybe a little better than others, right, especially with his track record.
Well, I just, you know, with what's left out there in the portal that we
can, right,
we
know, yeah, about. I'm talking about. I think Coleman is the guy that you're going to look at. I mean, today is today's the 29th, right? My days are getting mixed up.
Today is the 29th.
I mean, that's when we should know. Whether he's going to stay in or stay out, and as far as the NBA draft, and so I would, and there's some other guys also that have to make that decision too that could possibly be added to the roster too. So but I think he would be the top choice.
You boys straighten me out here. You got this deadline, and then they can come back, and then they can go back again. Was it the final deadline? I think it's June 16th, maybe. Is that final deadline, which we've seen that before, but
it's either the 10th or the 16th. I'll be honest with you. I haven't looked at that. I just know the 29th when, you that's when you, if you want to go to college, you, jump back in.
Right. And just to be clear, you're talking about, when you say Coleman, you're talking about Coleman Hawkins, the Illinois.
Coleman Hawkins.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. Arkansas, sorry, for those that don't remember, you played Hawkins 2 years ago. He wasn't as good then as he was this past season. He was Illinois, along with that lefty guard's best player. But entering the draft and elect or deciding if he wants to, again, stay in that process or come back to school, which Trevin Brazil sounds like he's done, Richard, according to reports. Now, doesn't necessarily mean he's coming back to Arkansas, but I know everyone has their Trevin Brazil theory. What do you think is ultimately going to happen with Trevin and his college future?
That's a good question. That's something that, I really haven't done any checking on. It'd be pure speculation that, I would tend to think he already has a landing spot. Who it is, I have no idea. But I think that he probably, his people have probably been talking to schools and saying, it's probably looking like he's going to come back to college. And when it was announced, I just tend to think something happened pretty quick with him.
Richard, we opened the show this morning. By the way, we're talking with Richard Davenport on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. He's with Whole Hog Sports, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. We opened the show this morning talking about potential roster changes coming to not just college football, but it will go on from there. What do you think about that possibility of shrinking the roster sizes and not moving forward with walk-ons? I would think that would be pretty devastating to high school football across the country.
Yeah, man, college football, there's been so many great walk-ons through the years. Obviously, Arkansas, we know the walk-ons that have come through Arkansas, and it's just a great feel-good story because those guys obviously came in and worked their butts off and were able to see the field and eventually get put on scholarship. I don't know, man. We're getting to the point where, the business model, if they finalize that and it basically eliminates walk-ons, I think it's another dagger to the fan base, because the fan base is really enjoy seeing kids walk on and try to get an opportunity to make it on the field and get a scholarship. I don't know, man. I know we're going in a different direction than what we've been in the past, and I think there needs to be some balance of common sense and not kill high school recruiting. Period. I mean, kids that don't walk on might have other opportunities to go elsewhere, but they've always dreamed to go to the University of Arkansas or University of Oklahoma, whoever, and to have that opportunity and be successful. I mean, that's an inspiration to not only the kids around that young man, but people around the country that shows, an underdog can succeed. And I just hope that they don't do that.
Richard, staying with football, we know that Sam Pittman right now is in Destin with the other 15 SEC coaches at SEC Media Days, along with their presidents and 80s, and I think a few players too. What does his and his staff's schedule look like following the return from Florida in the coming weeks? Like, what is he doing?
Well, the next four consecutive weekends, they're hosting kids for official visits. They got at least 10 more 10 guys coming. Probably more, we'll know more later this week. This weekend, and then I got a full list of guys coming the next three consecutive weekends, and then they have a bunch of camps. They have about 10 camps in the month of June. So June's basically a really, obviously, very busy time for college football coaches. I mean, it's balancing official visits, and also they'll probably have some official visits during the week too at times, and then that'll be when they're hosting high school kids for camps and stuff. So at the end of June 24th, that's when the dead period starts. The dead period starts the 24th and goes to July the 24th. So Every college football coach will be exhausted and ready to have that dead period. So usually that's when they all take their vacations before the start of fall practice and kind of get energized again before the season.
And I know high school football in the spring is wrapping up. School will be out the next few days. Then I know the first few weeks of June around our state will be busy with team camp, 7-on-7s, and then talking about dead periods, every parent that's got a kid in high school sports of any kind, 9th through 12th grade, knows the first 2 weeks of July are shut down, so that's when everyone's doing their vacations. But 7-on-7s and high school team camps are going to be busy those first 2 or 3 weeks of June, Richard.
Yeah, no, they'll be on college campuses too. I'm sure Arkansas will have a 7-on-7. And that helps also. Obviously, as a college team, you try to get some of the high profile programs to your campus, and oftentimes a high profile prospect will come to your campus, and that will obviously give them the opportunity to show the kid not only that kid but kids on his team the facilities and things like that. It gives them an opportunity to, you know, see the University of Arkansas, and then, you know, even if it doesn't maybe benefit you this year, it may benefit you in the future because other kids are coming up, and Arkansas has gotten a commitment or two from guys that have been to campus for 7-on-7. So it is beneficial to colleges too.
Yeah, and you mentioned they'll have the team camps and more advanced level camps that the university will be hosting as well. Should be a fun summer. Hard to believe that summer is already here. I mean, it just this year has flown by already.
Yeah, and I'm with you. You know, you get out of the winter, say, you know, I guess in March or whatever, you start feeling the temperatures, and then all of a sudden here comes summer, and obviously what comes with that with the heat, and around August I'll be ready for fall weather.
Absolutely. Richard, appreciate your time this morning. We'll catch up with you next Wednesday.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, Richard Davenport with us on the McLarty Daniel hotline, and talking some recruiting and those roster sizes and how that not just will affect Arkansas's roster size, but the high school recruiting as well. We're brought to you by Wheels RV, 5 miles west of exit 72 off of I-49 in Springdale. I want to speak to those that have RVs that maybe were camping this last weekend and your RV is damaged as a result of storms or tree limbs or a tree's fallen on it, or it was parked at your home and it has incurred some damage. Once you've talked with your insurance company and kind of gotten some direction there, keep in mind Wheels RV can help take care of restoring and repairing or helping you replace that RV that has incurred that damage. So if you're looking for someone to walk you through the process and help you with that body repair or that paint repair that's going to need to be done, or the parts that are going to be needed to get you back into camping shape, Wheels RV can do that for you. They're 5 miles west of Exit 72 off of I-49 in Springdale. Seek, explore, and discover with Will's RV.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
So first beef this morning was about Oklahoma fans that think they're going to have a cakewalk in the SEC, dominate, and get double-digit wins. I foresee 7 losses on Oklahoma's opening SEC schedule this season. We'll see how it plays out. Another beef of mine is I found out this morning, according to Powerhouse's Facebook page, we know that place is permanently closed, unfortunately. It's a landmark in Fayetteville. Okay, I hate it.
Okay.
Yes, Powerhouse Seafood and Grill right off Dixon Street.
Right.
Place that many have frequented, including John Gruden. Apparently, the owners of the real estate, I don't know who bought it. I don't know what corporation or what real estate group bought it. But they're going to, again, they're going to tear down this building, which I assumed something else was going to go in there. I assumed like a big open area. They're building a parking lot for a new restaurant complex.
Probably profitable, actually, in that part of the world.
But of all things...
That part of downtown, that might be profitable.
But of all things to put there in a great spot...
It's not... You say a great spot, but it's...
Do you not think... I think that has so...
Well, it's not right up on Dixon.
Yeah, but that spot has so much potential to me. And I go to all these other college towns and all these other cities, and I see... And I know Fayetteville can get cold, but these open bar restaurant concepts in like Madison, Wisconsin, for example, has a ton of them. And I thought they were the coolest thing ever. Tin Roof is kind of that, where you've got the open balcony and the others, but there's just not a lot of that in Fayetteville, specifically on Dixon Street. And my thought was whether it was a local or a national chain was going to come in and do something similar. But I'm just disappointed. It's not the worst beef I have this morning. I just think there's so much more that you can do in that spot than building a parking lot for an apartment complex.
But it's adjacent property. That's the reason why. I mean, it's hard to convince your shareholders or your board of directors to, hey, let's go in and spend millions of dollars to rehab a location that was a restaurant that went out of business as a restaurant. You know, you stop and think about the logic in some of that. I know it's not that far off Dixon. It's 2 blocks maybe?
Yeah, you just basically, I don't know what the street address
but
is.
But we're lazy and we won't walk that far. We'll walk 3 blocks up Dixon, but walking 2 blocks off of Dixon. Mm-hmm. I went to the Powerhouse a lot because you could actually find parking there, eat there, and then walk over, you know, if you want to go somewhere else. So I thought it was convenient in that way. And they had pretty good seafood as well. But yeah, I mean, I could see why... And listen, you put a parking lot there, you can always go back and build something if a concept that makes sense. But you say location, but it's really... It needs to be up on Dixon. It's not.
Disappointed sports fan texting on the McCarty Daniel hotline. He misses the kilowatt drinks.
Yeah.
That was a Monday night special for me when I was in school at the University of Arkansas. There was concerts there. There were several other things. That was a staple of mine once... We turned 21. We had our friend's, not reception, but the night before reception, wedding dinner there. I enjoyed going. I was disappointed when I heard the news for the first time, but I'm even more disappointed now that I know the aftermath of what they're turning into. And I get it, like you, and I agree, it probably is going to be profitable.
And there's not enough parking on Dixon.
Yeah, well, they got that one big lot right next to
DeGrubbs. On the weekends, it's full.
Yeah, There's a park.
Are you saying more parking's a bad idea down there?
Well, apparently it's for the apartment complex. I don't even know if it's going to be public. It sounds like it's not.
Well, I thought you said restaurant complex.
No, apartment complex. So that's what I'm saying. And that,
well, you got to have parking to build that. Then
there is a spot near Dixon Street that is free that I park at. Most people pay to park. I'll never reveal where it's at. But that is my selective spot. Traditionally where I go to. So what if that is a more mild beef. The Oklahoma stuff was very, and I've got 2 or 3 others I want to share this morning. We've got plenty of time to do that. But that is one of my more milder beefs this morning.
Here we are, May 29th. It's a Wednesday morning. What did we do 2 days ago at Memorial Day? My kids are still in school. This is ridiculous.
Is that because of the snow days? Or
I don't know. This is the way it was scheduled. That's not my beef. That's the calendar. The way the calendar worked out, I don't understand why we didn't start 3 days sooner. But go to school for 3 or 4 days after Memorial Day seems nuts to me. But here's the thing. They all get school-issued computers, right?
Yeah.
Those were taken up last week. So they're not doing anything. There's no assignments. They're doing nothing at school. We're wasting everyone's time.
Yeah.
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
They're probably just zero. Doing it.
When to fill
the days.
When are they?
Friday.
Okay.
You're just sitting there, sitting on your hands, doing nothing. Only thing that can happen is to get in trouble. That's the only thing that can happen in the next few days. One day's a field trip to Silver Dollar City. The days are filled with nothing productive. What are we doing?
If I remember correctly, the timeline's a little fuzzy because it was 20 years ago, but Memorial Day was the sign of, like you said, the school was either ending the week before Memorial Day weekend or maybe a week before. We would then go to Shangri-La.
Yeah. So I don't have all of the specifics, but apparently the state legislature some time ago passed some law that you can't start before a certain date in August because of tourism in our state. Didn't want to kill tourism by starting too early in August. Don't you kill tourism by not being able to get out of school in time to enjoy the full week at the lake or doing something else Memorial Day?
Here's what I want to happen. You know these parent board meetings that make their ways on social media, parents that are flamboyant and boisterous about a certain topic, whatever this, some more serious than others. I want you to be that parent that goes on a rampage about school stopping, starting, and ending. Now, you do a radio show daily, so you will be able to lay out.
I've got my own forum.
You'll be able to lay out points a lot better than a lot of other parents that try and get up there on that forum. But you should really go in on the next board meeting.
If I've got an administrator, a high powered administrator in our state, by the way, tell me you have to fill out a waiver to start a week earlier. If it's about, and I've been told it's about tourism and not starting too early to soften the blow of that. I just think this is a week that's just completely wasted time at school.
Oh.
I mean, if you're taking up the school computer so they don't get stolen, it's absolutely just preposterous what we're doing. Here's another one. Text to me. From an educator standpoint, I'm with you 100%, Tommy. I mean, we're just down there wasting time.
The only thing
that's going to happen is get in trouble.
Justin Springdale says, hey, it's one more week of free babysitters. Well, it's not free. That's what the taxes are for.
Yeah, I got a notice on my taxes going up too yesterday and my insurance. That could be another beef.
Alan says that his daughter's in 5 AP classes. They took their AP test last week and there's nothing left to do in those classes.
There's no work to do. If nothing else, let's let them stay home if they choose to. Then get in less trouble that way.
Text out of the 479, apparently the state parks are the ones to blame with the lobbyists there.
By the way, my kid doesn't get in trouble a lot, so I don't want to make it sound like that, but it's just nuts what we're doing this week.
Right.
Waste of time and money.
Hour two coming up.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Gotta be truthful. When I saw the social media swarm and the discussion of Angel Hernandez, the umpire who announced his retirement, is going to retire in the last day or so, I had no idea who it was. Now, a lot of MLB players do, including Kyle Schwarber.
Called strike three, and Schwarber is thrown out of the game, and he had zero issue with getting thrown out, making it very clear you've missed him inside, outside, up, and down. Schwarber thrown out after being punched out by Angel Hernandez, and Joe may go too. Now, Schwarber is speaking for both sides tonight.
So there have been incidents in Hernandez's watch that have warranted pushback from fans, missed calls, misjudgments, things that have been reviewed and then turned over. Again, this is not the biggest deal to me, but I know for a lot of you Cardinal fans, for you Ranger fans, for just MLB fans in general, you have an opinion on Angel Hernandez. Now, our Morning Rush did the question, who is the most notorious ump or ref of all time? Now, I know a lot of you with Arkansas football in the mind will immediately go to Mark Curls, and I get that. I understand that completely. My guy that stands out to me the most, and I'm not his biggest fan, is Joey Crawford.
Joey Crawford saying Roberto moving. Hey, Popovich doesn't like that one either. And another technical foul. And this is when Duncan. Duncan's out of the game. He's thrown Duncan out of the game.
I always thought that Joey Crawford was more invested in himself during the course of the game than the actual game itself. I was always frustrated. I watched that game live when Tim Duncan is laughing on the sidelines and gets ejected and thrown out. I thought he had the biggest ego of any ref I've ever watched in my entire life. Professionally, collegiately. I know some of you will
say, didn't they put him in the Hall of Fame? I think they put him in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
That's still. And that's fine. But again, he was probably the one that's the one that comes to mind to me as someone that I don't necessarily like.
Generally, if you know a ref's name, it's not good. Yeah. Generally, not that's not always the case. That's not a hard and fast rule, but you know, usually the better ones are kind of in the, you know, you don't know their name for a reason because they haven't given you a reason to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some people are just their personality or they're always in the big moments. You know, people complain about Doug Shals in Southeastern Conference basketball. Well, that's because Doug Shals is one of the best in the country or has been and works all the big games in this league. So he's always in that big moment. So you know where he's at because he's got a concentrated audience, or that's been his career to at least until recent years. So, you know, people knew Jerry Markbright back in the day in the NFL. Now, if you become a little bit famous and you have some notoriety, you become an analyst on TV and you make even more money.
Yeah, and social media has amplified that. People know more refs' names now than they ever have. I think about Ed Hockley's biceps, and that's an NFL referee that comes to mind. And for example, Doug Shals is a name that a lot of people know. I don't have an issue with it. I have more of an issue with Teddy Valentine, TV Teddy, who the antics.
He drew attention. He did at the time draw a lot of attention. Himself.
My whole thought on referees, and you are one, so you can push back, is like you're in a different light because you do a morning radio show. So people know your name, which probably gets annoying from time to time. But when guys like Teddy Valentine and Joey Crawford go out of their way to make the game about themselves with their antics, with their showboating, with the different things, that's what rubs me the wrong way.
That's fair.
Which is why Joey Crawford, for a number of years, ticked me off because he wanted to be more important than the players, the coaches, and the game itself. And you could say he's in the Hall of Fame probably as a byproduct.
I just asked a question, I know the answer.
And it's probably a byproduct of that. But that always rubbed me the wrong way when it comes to him and Teddy specifically.
And I'm not speaking, I don't disagree with anything you just said. It's about the players and it's about the competition. It shouldn't be about the referees in any sport. I 100% agree with that. But we do live in a society now, whether you're a referee or you're a police officer or you're a school teacher or you're a judge or anyone in a position of authority, when you actually do your job, people get mad. When you hold people accountable and, well, here's what the rule says, here's what the law says, here's what, that's just how we are in society now. Ask a school teacher, ask a police officer, ask someone whose job it is to hold people accountable to the rules or the laws of the day, of whatever you're dealing with. Sports is a much different deal than laws and things that police officers deal with, but it's the same concept. Not comparing sports officials to police officers, but they do a lot of the same things as far as here's the law, here's the rule, here's the decision, here's the judgment. People get upset about that. So, you know, Joey Crawford certainly had his antics. And you can talk about Angel Hernandez. He was just bad at his job. Joey Crawford wasn't bad at his job. These other guys aren't bad at their jobs. They wouldn't be working the assignments they are. Angel Hernandez, just shown on film, and when we had the automated strike zone, it became, and there's two different kinds of baseball umpires. There's a ball and strike umpire, and you're really good behind the plate, and then, you know, you're a base pass rules guy out in the field. He was just seemingly bad at both. You know, there was a game, I was reading some stuff, you know, just a few years ago, they overturned three calls in the first four innings or something.
Jeez.
By replay. You're just not very good at your job. But when you're in a union situation, you get to keep your job.
Drew and Harrison saying Hernandez, like you said, it's more notorious than missing calls than
just bad
right throughout the game.
And he hadn't worked very many major league games in the last couple of years. It's just the retirement announcements what's bringing this to the light.
To the forefront, yeah.
Yeah, he hadn't worked a lot here lately.
Randall and Spreedale said he united fan bases against him.
Exactly. It wasn't because of his antics. He just wasn't very good.
Michael in Cave Springs.
And I think at a time, he must have been good at a time, and his skills diminished over the years.
Michael in Cave Springs says that Wes McCauley was his favorite NHL referee.
Couldn't tell.
They were first both mysterical. I'm with you. I don't watch much NHL at all. I have not kept up. I know the Stars are in the, I guess, Western Conference Finals, but that is that is about the extent of my hockey knowledge right now. So do you have one that maybe stand. May, if you want to turn it into maybe someone that you looked up to, I will be okay with that. Crawford was just a guy that always irked me and always will.
He, when you said, you know, famous, he was the first name that came to mind.
Crawford did?
Yeah. But listen, Joey Crawford was a hell of a referee.
Yeah.
But you can say what you want about the antics and all that. Don't disagree with any of that. Got a lot of calls right.
I think there's, again, him being where he is and all, but the whole, and I didn't go to ref school or whatever training y'all have to go through, but I would think that one of the things you guys learn at the lowest level, at bleeping intramurals, is don't make yourself the show. And he did consistently over and over and over again. And
but he kept getting the assignments. Why? He kept being put in the NBA Finals. Why? In all the biggest games. Insane. Why? Why was he always there at the biggest moment? Because he could handle it. You know, and people don't understand. You know, I everything you're saying is right. You know, but I don't think you can compare him and Angel Hernandez.
Okay.
Know? I don't know how interesting this conversation is to our audience.
JT and Hot Springs texting, Frank Drebin was better than,
than
Angel Hernandez. Again, that is our Morning Rush Daily Question presented by Red River Dodge in Heber Springs, Arkansas's number one Ram dealer. Log on at redriverdodge.com. So at the start of the show this morning in our open, we played a clip from Greg Sankey at SEC Media Days, and I want to play it again for those that missed it. Concerns about possibly shrinking roster sizes in college football and eliminating walk-ons. Here was Greg Sankey against assessment of him talking with coaches, and we'll kind of dive into this.
I've not talked to our coaches about that other than individually to say, hey, slow down, guys. So we had a meeting 3 weeks ago. Some of you have sources. That's great. I think it's a bit of a threat, a danger that we can't have a conversation about concepts that don't populate themselves outside the room. So then that provokes a reaction. I know other conferences have discussed it. Coaches have then texted our coaches. They get fired up and we said, just wait, we're gonna have a conversation. That's where it is. That's a concept. And understand that football captures the attention, but we have 21 championship sports, all of which need to have a level of conversation about that roster piece.
And he kind of, at the tail end of that clip, says this is not just a football discussion. This is something else. Now, I think what's going to be changed in others, like for baseball, for example, it's 11.7 scholarships divvied out amongst 30-something players. That's going to change where you could potentially offer a scholarship to every player. But in football, you could see a shrinking of roster size. I think I read a 35-player decrease, which is pretty crazy. Basically 115 to either 85 to 95 players, which I found interesting. You think about what roster sizes used to look like versus what they could look like moving forward.
Yeah, and I read one of the coaches' comments to this idea, and clearly I guess it's now 16 coaches in this league are united in this front about a reduction in roster size. And one of the points brought up was just health and safety. In practice, you need X number of players to take the reps, to get through the drills, to have an effective practice. I think the reality of having 105 to 115 players suited up and on your roster throughout the course of a year is probably not a conversation that's going to be realistic moving forward. We're in a world now where you're going to take $20, $22 million as reported out of your operating budget moving forward and distribute that money amongst the athletes. Okay. That's one conversation, but that's $20 or $22 million that either you've got to cut cost or raise more revenue. And it's probably some of both. You can say what you want, but 25 or 30 extra players, you know, if you're 115 and you go to 85, that's 30 players. They all have to have equipment. They all have to be fed. They all have to be, dealt with medically when there's an injury. And I know they're there to help with practice. And the exception to that rule is the Brandon Burlesworth. But, you know, out of 4 years and say 120 walk-ons, how many earn scholarships? Probably less than five.
That's a good question.
In a 4 year period?
Yeah.
I mean, administrators are counting the beans because that's their job.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, with the NIL world and the cost of doing business and how you're going to redistribute the revenue, I don't think football is going to be the only place we talk about shrinking roster sizes. I know these guys don't travel, and they have a certain purpose, but there's a cost to that purpose as well. They still get coaching.
Yeah, you referenced it. It was a unified front from all coaches. Like, I think it was Kalen DeBoer that said that about the health and safety, the Alabama head coach. What I think, and I didn't expect anything different. Coaches don't want smaller rosters. No. They want bigger rosters. Now, the athletics director, I think it's interesting. The angle that if you're coming from the athletics director side, what I thought you kind of referred to the shrinking was what Trev Alberts had to say, A&M's athletic director. He pointed out that college athletics doesn't necessarily have a revenue problem. They have a dumb expenses problem.
Yep.
And a spending problem.
$22 million dumb? I don't think they're $22 million dumb.
And we know Texas A&M has already shrunk their own athletics department. Alberts has already got in front of that. And some would commend him for doing that. Others would be hacked off because they're like, oh, we're going to have to follow suit in doing that. But the approach that these ADs take when it comes to college athletics moving forward, the Title IX implications of, hey, how much do you have to do if it's $20 million, right? Do you have to do 10 and 10? Like, do you have to offer $10 million to the women, to the $10 million to men? For me, football's cash cow. It's the keen, right? And no one would argue that. So I don't think, now people might think this is unfair, I don't think football should be messed with because it basically, with the exception of basketball, it saves every other sport on each college campus, right?
Don't disagree. So the old adage of don't kill the goose that lays the golden eggs.
Why would you hurt in any capacity the cash cow? Why would you do that?
That's a wise take.
Yeah, right?
But that's not how it's going to go.
Yeah, and it is, I want to be clear. I don't have daughters or anything, but I do have sisters. I do have a couple nieces, and I want them to have the same access to sports that my nephews do or my brothers do or whoever else. And Title IX is a big part of that. But how lawyers and Congress and everyone reads into Title IX impacting the revenue aspect of this is going to be a huge aspect of this. And then what is going to be justified in the amount of spending? I don't know if they're going to have the same mindset as I do when it comes to not hurting the cash cow, which is football, but I hope they stick to that. If there is a sport, no disrespect to lacrosse players or hockey player, it's just not as big of a deal as football.
But here's an example. Yesterday I was watching, caught the tail end on, because I wanted to tune into the SEC Network, didn't get home as early as I'd hoped yesterday, and see some of the interviews from Destin that Feinbaum was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Lebby was on, I can't remember the new AD's name there. It's Sal something.
At OU?
At Mississippi State. Oh. Because Lebby's the new head coach at
Mississippi State.
But they were talking about the transition and him coming in and becoming the head coach. And one thing that stood out to me in his brief moments on there was he said, yeah, we got our staff in place and this. And then, you know, how he was complimenting his AD and their administration because he said, you know, we had to go through the process of hiring 40 employees.
Wow.
I don't know that's not 40 new positions that they've created. That's replacing probably 40 people that left when, you know, the previous head coach who was elevated from the defensive coordinator, whose name escapes me right now, was fired, and they bring in Lebby. But that's, you know, you just
Arnett.
Think, yeah. Zach Arnett. You just think about the support positions. I mean, there's just in football alone, there's like 200, 250 people involved that are on the payroll. So, you say, let's not touch football, but I don't know how you can look at an athletic department, and I know how much of that crosses over. But, I mean, I don't know what people like Hunter Yurcheck are going to decide and what they're going to do, but you're going to have to do some things that publicly resonate, and you're also going to do some things behind the curtain. Because paying coaches $13 million a year like they're doing at Georgia and then paying them a whole bunch more money at places like A&M to not even coach is not going to set well with the public when you're having to figure out what sports you're cutting, scholarships you're cutting, expenses you're cutting to make ends meet.
And for Arkansas specifically, think about your non-revenue producing sports and how successful they are, right? Think about your softball.
You're talking about winning and titles and championships.
Not from a revenue producing standpoint, but I'm just talking about what matters, which is on the field or on the court. Yeah. With the exception of, I would say, women's basketball.
This just dawned on me. I'm sorry to interrupt, but isn't it ironic that we're talking about having meetings and conversations about how to make expenses meet revenues and how to cut corners and what we need to do to trim cost, and we're doing this at the Hilton Sandestin? Yeah, isn't that a little bit ironic, too?
You would think that.
You know, that we're having our meetings at a beachfront resort on the company dime. I mean, listen, I'm going to the beach in a few weeks. I'm all for going to the beach. But it falls a little bit hollow and a little bit shallow and hollow to me that, hey, well, we really got to tighten the belt here, and we really got to figure out how ways to, you know, to maybe cut a roster or cut administrative cost. But let's hurry up and finish this meeting so we can go have some surf and turf beachfront here at 6 o'clock and not miss happy hour.
Did you catch that invite, Big C, to Tommy's speech week? I didn't catch it.
I didn't.
Okay. Well,
somebody's got to stay here and run the board. But but you see my point?
Yeah, that's
we're having conversations about trimming expenses in the SEC and how to divide $22 million of revenue with the athletes, and we're doing it at a beachfront resort in Destin, Florida.
Yeah. No, I think that's very fair. Here's what
this meeting can be had. Somebody needs to ask that question. Anywhere. Absolutely.
That's your light bulb moment. My light bulb moment is that I actually agree with the Texas A&M head football coach, Mike Elko.
I'm strongly against it. I think it's absolutely against college football, what it stands for, what it's about. I think that'll be a major problem, especially when you look at legacies of Texas A&M kids that are going to get the opportunity to play football at Texas A&M, potentially taken away from them. I think that's something that's really bad for the sport.
Y'all know
he's talking about roster.
Yes, and again, referring back to where we initially started the conversation, y'all know how I feel about the Texas A&M Aggies football program, school, institution, traditions, and everything that basically is blended within that cult in College Station, Texas. But I will give them credit for the 12th man and that philosophy of the walk-ons and how important that is, as is the Burlesworth Trophy here in our neck of the woods, and what Brandon was able to accomplish and do as a collegiate football player coming from Harrison, Arkansas. While they are few and far between, like you said, we are losing the pageantry, the tradition, and the historical parts of college football. And they're withering away. This would be a major crushing blow to all these years of heritage if you take away walk-ons. I'm not talking about shrinking roster size.
You may be overstating it a little bit.
I mean, we're watching things kind of, again, go off into the wind of sorts. Well, and I think this would be a major blow. Okay.
So what's likely to happen here? There's going to be a meeting in the middle somewhere. Hey, coach, you're not going to get 115, 120 roster spots. We're going to cap it at 100 somewhere down the road. And your preferred walk-ons, the ones that can actually help the team, the ones that can actually, you know, earn a scholarship, we're still have a place for them. And then if you need practice players, they'll do what basketball's doing now. You use graduate assistants as practice players. Now, you know, I don't know, there may be some other things with football that, you know, would challenge that, but that's what's coming. But you know, again, I'm with you. You're right in the fact that you shouldn't mess too much with football, because this is the goose that lays the golden eggs for everyone else. You are spot on with that. But I also find it ironic we're talking about
Sandestin.
We got guys making $5 to $15 million a year, head coaches I'm speaking of, sitting in Sandestin, Florida, talking about, you know, having conversations about expenses.
Kirby's buyout, Tommy, is apparently up to $92 million or something
just nuts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Another great game for Daniel Gafford last night. Unfortunately, his Dallas Mavericks fell 105-100 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. He had 12 points, 6-6 for the field, 3 blocks and assists and a steal, and still wrecking havoc on the defensive end.
It's out to Towns, drives on Washington, sidesteps, scoops, rejected, swatted away, Gafford, it's Towns, and this time defenders another block inside, Gafford.
He's all over the place, man. And Derek Lively's injury, their backup center, so he's getting some more playing time at that position. The game 5 will be tomorrow night, 7:30 on TNT. But again, I feel like I just keep rinsing and repeating. Another good game for Daniel Gafford. This is the first time in a while that Dallas has lost, though, guys.
Well, and we were talking yesterday about historically, there's never been both conference finals decided with sweeps. So probably the smart money would have been all on the T-Wolves last night. I don't know what the line was. I bet it was less than, what was it, 105-100 the final. So I bet it was less than 5 anyway. But point being, it kind of made sense for the T-Wolves to pull this one out. Question is, does this go 6 games? Can they close another one on the road like they've done before? And we have just over a week till the finals begin. So how much longer can the T-Wolves extend what seems to be right now the inevitable? It would be really historical if they came back from 3-0.
Yeah, I don't know how many teams have gone down 3-0. I just know that they're 0-for coming back. Christian, I expect this. I know you're the Mavs guy of this program. I expect this to go to 6 games and the Mavs to close it back home in the American Airlines Center, but I think they do lose again tomorrow night against the Timberwolves.
I could definitely see it. The first 2 games they played in Minnesota were very close. I like the Mavs' chances when it is a close game. They didn't get it done last night, so we'll see. I would say 6 would probably be the most likely
scenario. Kind of the
scenario
number I'm honing in on.
You know, the I think it was the Heat came back against the Celtics last year down 3-0 and tied it.
But they weren't able to win.
The Heat won game 7, but they were up 3-0 and the Celtics came back.
Yeah, I remember
the Celtics
that.
Came back and tied it.
We were wondering if that would be the first
ever.
It took forever in baseball for that to happen. So I guess that's been, 20 years ago now? So, someday it will happen in basketball. I don't know that it's this series, but all these games have been, like you said, very close, very competitive. It's not like these are lopsided competitions going on here.
Yeah. Dave Van Horn had plenty of things to say this earlier this week, talking about this upcoming weekend. One of the things that I thought was interesting was him discussing Baumwalker Stadium this weekend. A lot of advantages playing at home, but maybe a disadvantage here and there.
The advantages is that you get to stay in your own bed, sleep in your own bed, and your own surroundings that you're used to, and playing in front of your own fans that can help you out when they get loud and maybe help you flip an inning here or there. Just knowing your surface and the sun and the wind and all of those things. Sometimes the disadvantage about playing at home is there's a lot of distractions. People want tickets, you're getting texts, calls, media. I mean, there's a lot of things that can distract you when you're at home.
Yeah, a lot of pressure, though, to win at home as well and really getting past that first game. So, Arkansas's got plenty of examples of going on the road and winning. Recent and over Dave's tenure. So I think sometimes it is easier to go on the road, but this is the reward for the fans for a great season. He mentions all the positives there, but I don't think we realize the pressure, and he just laid out some of the details of playing at home and what that means.
I think it's an even split in Omaha. Now I can't remember. So 04 year at home, 9 year in Tallahassee, 12 year in Waco, 15 year at home, even though you should have been in Springfield, but the minor league situation, 18 at home, 19 at home, and then I guess it's 7, and then 22 in Chapel Hill. Then you went through Stillwater, too. So you've kind of had, it's not even exactly, but it's right around that.
Enough examples on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they've had success both ways.
Want to congratulate.
And they've only lost one time at home, though, in a Super, right? That was NC State. So
they've only lost one time at home in the Super.
Lost the series.
Okay, I don't know.
I that's right.
Don't know that, to be 100%. Grant Cook, I saw, has been called up to the show, Fayetteville Zone. He was a 2018 draft pick, I think fifth round, if I remember that right. He's going to be playing with the Pirates. Paul Skeens, I don't know when he'll catch for them. I know Paul has been the one that's a lot of attention's been paid to, not only in the Pittsburgh area, but nationally too. But I know there was a guy that's on the 10-day IR for their catcher. So congratulations to Grant, who is getting called up to the big leagues. I just watched Bull Durham this weekend, so it's kind of cool to see it from the actual firsthand perspective from him.
Yeah, and how cool are those phone calls you get to make to your parents and to the people that supported you to get to that, when you get that first call? My brother works with Jalen Beek's dad, and when he got that call from Jalen that he was going to the show, I mean, those are moments that you never forget and bring tears to your eyes, man, because of all the work that went into it.
Yeah, you don't send a text in that moment.
No.
That's a call for sure. Last two things here in your Hog Update. Keke Smith, number one JUCO player, is committed to the Arkansas women's basketball program. Big get for Mike Neighbors. And then I saw Kennedy Miller has been named freshman All-American via Softball America. She was the catcher last year with only one error, started in all 52 games last season, and hit over 300. All right, that is your Hog Update this morning. It is always brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
Excited to chat with Clay Henry coming up in just a bit. We'll get his thoughts not only on the big news in Destin with the scholarships in football, but also the baseball setup. It is wild. One of the things I kind of want to set up for this next hour with Clay is, when you go and look across college baseball right now, how many Dave Van Horn connections there are. We talked about Saban's coaching tree for a number of years with Smart, Kiffin, Fisher, and all these guys. Dave's not to that level yet, but when you think about Vitello and Johnson, the best team in the SEC,
Tennessee,
yeah. Georgia probably one of the hotter teams in the SEC, and
both
Johnson,
top 8 national seeds.
Yeah, it's done a great job in Athens there. Those are just kind of the big guys. Then you got Sawyers here this weekend. I think it's Burroughs for LA Tech. I mean, there's just a lot of guys, and even a young guy like Ezel, who just played for Dave recently. His coaching tree is all over the place, and the impact of college baseball is not just here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, but you see it across the sport.
Yeah, and but that's what happens when you've had the success and the consistency that he's had. I mean, people want to be around you. You build them up, and they go on to bigger things, and then they help people. So, that's why I don't worry about this job. And when Dave decides, hey, I'm gonna go spend time with the grandkids on a more regular basis. It's gonna be a highly coveted job, but also a lot of people with connections back to this university and to Dave, and that's gonna help down the road. That's why I never worry about when a coach leaves. His connections are so great; he knows where the next great one's coming from.
Yeah, and I am curious. I know we're a long way from that point, but I am curious when Dave decides, you know what, I'm gonna hang out with the triplets. And more than I am coaching baseball, what, assuming that Hunter Yurecek is still the athletic director, whatever that time is, what he decides to do? Does he hire within? Does Vitello, does Johnson, does some of these other guys that are in Dave's coaching tree have interest? That will be one of the most coveted. Not that Arkansas basketball wasn't coveted. We just saw who took over in John Calipari. But this is going to be maybe potentially when Dave hangs it up, the most coveted.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Coveted job that has ever been on campus at the University of Arkansas.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Just one question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Here he is. The Clay Henry.
You know, Tommy, it's funny you bring up Brett there as we welcome in Clay to the show this morning. Brett sent me this list of walk-ons recent, last decade or so, that have impacted college football. There's some pretty notable names on this list. Stetson Bennett, national champion. Baker Mayfield, Heisman Trophy winner. Hunter Renfrow, national champion for the Clemson Tigers. J.J. Watt, Clay Matthews, Grant Morgan, Arkansas zone. Clay,
they're not going to get rid of walk-ons. Everybody's taking it to the extreme.
I think
there may not be 120 guys out there in August, but they're not going to get rid of walk-ons entirely.
Yeah, Clay, right now there's 85 scholarship players on the roster, and it sounds like they could shrink it to 95 or so, which would eliminate a good chunk of walk-ons but keep some others. What have your thoughts been the last couple days, maybe reading some stories that are coming out of Destin in regards to changes within the framework of college football rosters?
Well, what I read is what we have been rumored for really months, because something's got to change, and they've got to shrink again. You know, constriction is what I would call it, because there's going to be, I think, athletic departments are going to shrink too. It's just a line item. You know, when you've got to come up with $20 million for revenue sharing, so how do you do it? Well, everything gets cut. You know, you're talking about walk-ons. I've been up for about 3 hours this morning, kind of like you, Ty. But I've been working on a project, writing a story for hitthatline.com that I'll send later. It's on the Tubes slam and, you know, what it meant and where were you when that happened. But anyway, I stumbled upon a story by accident when I was going through Google about Charlie Condon at Georgia, mm-hmm. who's going to be the number one draft pick. He was unrecruited. He was a pure walk-on, redshirted as a true freshman. Now he's going to be 2 years later. I mean, if he played 3 years, he would wipe out Pete Incaviglia's records. Home run, he's not going to get there because he's only going to play 2 years, but he's draft eligible because he redshirted as a true freshman. But they just barely took him at Georgia. He was a two-way player, played quarterback in baseball, at Marietta, and 6'5", 190, now he's 6'5", probably 220. And every time he swings, the ball's likely to go out of the park. I mean, He's Aaron Judge. That's what he looks like, and that's what the ball does. Anyway, I don't think walk-ons will ever go away because there's going to be that guy. But it's fascinating to watch. Now, I've heard so many people say, we're not going to follow college football anymore because of what's going to happen. That's BS. There's more interest right now in what's going on. The stories, you know, if you talk to somebody, they tell you what's going on. Well, that just indicates they're not going away. Yeah. They say they're going to go away. That mm-hmm. This is going to be professional sports. I'm not going to watch it. Well, why? They're still going to be Razorbacks. And everybody that says they're not going away knows every detail of what's going on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and no one's going to turn down the interest, particularly with their team, but. You know, back to the scholarship limitation and the roster size. I think this is another example of where the media and I think the coaches to this degree are taking it to the very extreme. And you know, the reality is it's probably going to be somewhere in the middle. Now, I think Ty brought up a really good point. You got to be careful not to kill the goose that lays the golden eggs. But I don't think having 15 additional. And let's be honest, practice players, and that's what the last 15 walk-ons are practice players, is going to determine the fate of the sport. But there's got to be room. There's got to be room for guys that have made a career out of it that didn't develop in time. And, the number's not going to be 85, but it's probably not going to be 120 either.
Yeah, so the key in all of this is just like the NFL. College football has needed numbers because of developmental. To replace, you know, to as players leave, you want to elevate, you know, your young players that you've developed, you know, through your weight program, and they've matured and gained weight and strength and become 20-year-olds and 21 and 22-year-olds. So if you're gonna take these numbers down, you know, they're talking about, you know, change the portal. They're gonna keep the portal because that's where you're gonna fill in. The NFL can just sign free agents. So they're going to need to be able to replace players to maintain, you know, a healthy program. So they're going to continue. I think they'll continue to raid, you know, the smaller schools, like what's going on. The Power Five will be able to reach and grab. so that you won't have to carry a big roster. You can refill, you know, in December, in May, like they're doing now.
Mm-hmm. I think what Tommy just brought up, if I had to guess, it's like the coaches don't want any changes at all, right? So what they're trying to, like these reporters are...
Other than their salaries going up, no, they don't want any changes.
I guess Kirby's making 13, but in terms of their rosters, so they're not like saying like it's a dire circumstance, but they're, I would guess that they're trying to push a narrative that helps the case that there would be more likely there would be no changes. But I tend to agree with you.
No, they want one major change. They want a player to be bound to them and can't leave without sitting out a year. They want that. They want some security so that they don't have to keep recruiting their own players every 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Nolan told me, he couldn't operate under this system because he was so hard on players. He says players want NIL money and to be loved by their coach. They do not want to be coached hard. Nobody really wants that. They need that. The teams need that. Yeah, but Sam Pittman, he can't come down hard on players. They'll just leave. So they want that change. They want that, you know, that transfer. You have to sit out if you transfer, which there, you know, there's no restriction on players coming and going now. They want that changed. I don't know that it will, but we'll see.
So where's
I'm sorry, Ty, but Clay, it falls a little bit on deaf ears with me that we're trying to figure out.
I'm not telling you.
Hang on. Let me finish. It falls on deaf ears with me a little bit that we got administrators and coaches gathering around and trying to figure out the future of college athletics and how we're going to trim budgets and cut corners so we can redistribute $22 million, all while doing it from the confines of the Hilton Sandestin beachfront property. You know, if they were serious about cost cutting and all, they wouldn't be having their meetings beachfront in Destin, Florida. It's a little bit hollow. And exactly. Yeah. So don't come at me saying, you know, we're going to have to figure out some things and maybe trimming roster sizes back, or maybe administrators are going to have to go, or maybe boosters need to give more, and we're making all of these decisions in Destin, Florida. Get out of here.
Do you know what?
Yeah. I will tell you, Frank Burrows is turning over in his grave.
Oh, I mean, you know,
because his complete staff was 12 people. 12.
Oh.
there's not 12 people in one department of the athletic staff.
Any idea? Yeah, you know, I'm going to stay on Tommy's line of thinking because I think he's 100% correct. Any idea how much a one king premium beachfront room costs at this sucker?
$600 a night.
$891. But
plus parking.
Hey, that includes the $40 resort fee charge per night.
And Tommy, Ty, I guarantee you that he preached that it was important for him to go there and cover that, I bet.
I'd love to be there.
That's my point. I mean,
what kind of margaritas would you be
Peach,
drinking?
Man, you know that. Daughter knows that.
When they get serious about, hey, we got to tighten the belt so we can make all this work to serve the student athletes with revenue distribution.
Yeah.
When they get serious about that, these meetings will be held in Birmingham.
Well, I thought so.
Yeah, and every one of these Power Five schools, they now have their own Learjet.
Yeah,
that's so true too.
Their own Learjet.
Kirby had some interesting comments about a month ago when being asked about like the different challenges now facing college football coaches, and he basically was like, he didn't say I'm getting paid $13 million, which I think he's up to now, but he's like, there are assistant coaches that are set for life based on that. Like it comes with the territory. Now, what I will say is certain coaches that enter the profession, both as assistants or head coaches, don't necessarily have all the details of what they're getting into behind the scenes, out front, the pressure and everything. But it kind of comes along the territory based on how much money you're making. I don't find any value whatsoever when college football coaches complain about certain things within their sport when they're making umpteen million dollars a year. I just don't find any value in that.
I went over and talked to Barry Switzer a month ago for a project for Hogs Plus, and he reminded me that when he was hired as head coach at Oklahoma, his salary was, I think he said, $24,000.
Wow.
Now, what would he be making now as head coach at Oklahoma?
The stipend for the students is more than $24,000.
What did Tommy Tice tell us yesterday? He got offered $6,800.
$6,800 is what he said, and he didn't know where he's going to spend it all. Yeah, I believe it's this comment.
It's definitely changed. Yeah. Again, that comes back to the revenue. And that I thought what else was interesting, there's plenty of things. Sankey was on 40 Minutes. We've heard from coaches. I haven't seen anything written about Sam Pittman or heard from Sam Pittman just yet. I would expect to hear something soon. But I think another important part of the college football circuit, not just college football, but really college sports right now, is the injury reporting, right? Like in the NFL and other sports, you have to report injuries days out in advance. And Clay, I want to play this clip from Sankey real quick and get your reaction. And Tommy and I will react too. But here's what Sankey said about the possibility of revealing injuries prior to games during the week.
We don't want to just rush into something. It's not injury reporting. It's a very different circumstance given some of the privacy issues we have. Yet, when you start to see the numbers of dollars being bet on legalized sports gambling or on college sports, not just football, but men's and women's basketball, volleyball, baseball, I think all of those catch your attention. We have to be thoughtful about how information is managed. It's also a reality that the lives of young people in colleges versus the lives of professional athletes are very different. A lot more exposure to people, a lot more people around our programs that go in and out. Sitting in classrooms is not something that happens to an NFL or a Major League Baseball participant, but it happens on a daily basis at the college level.
But where did he start, y'all? He started with betting. And what he said at the end is very true. But Clay, we kind of thought this was trending in this direction, and it's not just a college football thing. I mean, it's baseball, it's basketball, it's other sports, but I wonder how quick we see changes in that regard where schools are forced by the conference to officially report injuries due to the amount of gambling going on.
Yeah, but you still, there's that, the elephant in the room is federal guidelines on, you know, HIPAA. That is tough for this, you know, that see pro sports, they don't have that. Mm-hmm. They're not universities. They're not, you know, they're not colleges. There's some structure there, and, you know, Vanderbilt's a private institution. I mean, they don't give out salaries. NIL money is secretive. It's all there are so many clouded issues. But the other part, injuries. So, okay, he's got a lower leg injury. They're not going to tell you he's got a high ankle sprain. They're not going to give you the, you know, one coach, you know, it's like, well, he's not giving out the right information. He's not being fair in his reporting. And then, you know, the school will be reprimanded for not giving out the right injury. You know, like, and nobody wants to report concussions. You know, that is really hard to get out of players. You know, they don't want to admit they had a concussion. You know, that damages them for their NFL career.
Great point. Yeah. And it also should be noted that Sankey added that he doesn't expect a decision sometime this week.
What are we doing down there?
Every
subject I've heard them discuss, and well, we won't come to a conclusion this week.
Yeah, like the.
So what are we doing down there?
The scheduling and
they're trying to get to 5:00.
They're percolating ideas, Tommy, and
is
having
it a big
fun.
Thing?
They're tossing them out. The ideas are percolating in mind.
I tell you what they're saying. They're privately saying, you know what, boys, we're all screwed.
Yeah,
because we don't know what to do. Nobody that's got the right answer or the easy answer. I think they've been pointed, figure this out, but it is convoluted, complex, and what they finally vote on and agree to this week will change in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I think it's, you bring up the convoluted aspect, Clay. It's important to note that settlement has not been reached yet. It is a layout. So all these ideas, all these things that have been tossed out about facts and figures, have not been set in stone because it has not been agreed upon by the judge to settle at that number. So things are subject to change. And we also, by the way, are in an election year.
The big issue that's still got to get resolved and figured out is the status. Are these players going to become employees mm-hmm. with university benefits? Are they going to be 1099s? Are they you know, because you when you cross that line, there is a world of difference in the expense. I mean, we both just sat through a health insurance meeting yesterday and heard about the cost and the expense, and nothing's going down. Everything's going up. Only thing going down is your coverage, and up is your premium and your deductibles. So, that's a huge issue that people gloss over. But, Clay, you know this very well. You've ran a business. The difference between these players being essentially contractors and 1099s versus W-2 employees and how they're also represented collectively is a huge deal. And in order to do that, they're going to have to be employees to be able to collectively bargain without Congress getting involved. There's a lot of things to this that get glossed over because people just want to talk about the $22
million. Yeah, and Sankey.
Yeah, I tell you, you got one thing exactly right. The past tense for me running a business, I'll never do it again.
key word on that. So still plenty in a pack from Sankey and Destin yesterday. It's a shame we're not down there on the beach celebrating.
How much was it tonight?
It was $891.
Yeah, there's your answer, Judge.
It covers the $40 resort fee that would have been added after the fact. Yeah. So that is encouraged.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.